Hi everyone, I'm Ashley Minogue from OpenView's expansion team, where I help software startups accelerate their revenue growth to build long-lasting companies. This season on Build, we're talking about product-led growth. Each week, I'll speak with tech executives and founders to hear firsthand how they've leveraged a product-led growth model to put product at the center of their acquisition, conversion, and expansion strategies to achieve rapid and efficient scale. Now on with the show. Today, we're going to be talking about the state of SaaS IPOs, specifically about public product-led growth companies. I'm joined by Sean Fanning, the Corporate Development Manager here at OpenView. Sean helps our portfolio companies establish strategic relationships and analyzes trends across M&A, PE, and public markets. Sean, welcome to Build.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Yes, always love having an OpenViewer on. So as you know, we're going to be talking about SaaS IPOs. Let's talk about the history of IPOs. So in 2012, SEC Advisory Committee on Small and Emerging Companies published a report titled, Where Have All the IPOs Gone? And they highlighted the fact that IPOs have been on the decline. They noted that across all industries, an average of 311 firms went public every year from 1980 to 2000. But between 2001 and 2011, an average of just 99 firms went public. So why has there been such a decline in IPOs, specifically in the software sector?
So there's certainly a lot of macro trends across all markets, but specifically within the software sector, there's two big things we can point to. The first is the availability of private capital across all stages, but specifically private equity firms who are increasingly comfortable with software assets. They're paying revenue multiples, not just for cash flow, and their lenders are more comfortable as well. And these private equity firms are keeping companies private for longer. More PE firms are raising dedicated pre-IPO funds. TPG just raised a fund called the TPD Tech Adjacencies Fund. There's mega funds like Vista Equity Partners and other firms like SoftBank and Sovereign Wealth Funds that are putting a lot of money to work, paying massive valuations and keeping companies private. The second big reason is strategic M&A, which is reducing the number of public companies and keeping companies out of the public markets, in effect relegating the IPO to a minor role. It really just is a stepping stone towards a larger liquidity event. So a good example is MuleSoft, very popular SaaS company, which was still in its infancy, really just a baby of the public markets when Salesforce took the company private at almost a 40% premium. And then Adaptive Insights was on the eve of its IPO, and Workday acquired it for double the valuation that it would have had it listed as a public company. So there's a lot of capital out there, both private and within strategic parties, that's keeping companies out of the public markets.
Makes sense. So in your opinion, then, what are some of the consequences of this decline in public companies and IPOs?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it really, the biggest thing we lose is data, complete lack of data, especially for my role here at OpenView Corp Dev. We do a lot of work with the portfolio, helping them understand how software companies are performing financially. And so we lose this real-time data on how software as a service businesses are valued, financial characteristics and benchmarks. And we can't really educate folks who might have public company aspirations on the journey that businesses are taking on their way to the public markets.
Got it. So the good news is more recently, there has been more IPOs. So in the first half of 2018, 10 SaaS businesses went public, representing $30 billion of aggregate enterprise value, compared to just 4 going public in 2016 and 8 in 2017. So tell us a bit about the companies who went public more recently.
Yeah, sure. So the cohort of IPOs in the first half includes a lot of companies people are familiar with, such as Dropbox, Zuora, DocuSign, and Smartsheet, just to name a few. And what's interesting is as of June 30th, the total enterprise value for that IPO cohort in the first half expanded 15% to $44 billion in aggregate enterprise value. And we're trading at a multiple of 11 times forward revenue. And so the performance of that cohort has been really strong so far.
Well, the numbers certainly prove that. Can you explain to our listeners more generally how you evaluate the performance of public companies?
Definitely. So if we take a step back, investors will look at everything, both financial metrics and traditional SaaS metrics. But given that not all of this is required to be disclosed by public companies, we can't easily track it. So we tend to focus on three key valuation drivers for public businesses. The first being revenue growth, which is strongly positively correlated with valuation. Second is gross margin, which demonstrates a business's ability to scalably and repeatably deliver a product to their customers. And the third is the Rule of 40, which is revenue growth plus EBITDA margin, which acts as a really good proxy for business efficiency. So how well is a business balancing revenue growth with cash burn? So if a business is growing at 100%, but their EBITDA margin is negative 100%, they'd be at zero for the Rule of 40 and not very efficient. And we call it the Rule of 40 because 40 seems to be generally what the consensus is amongst software investors. And if you're at 40, you're considered to be a strong performer on this metric. So all of those factors go into valuation, which for software businesses is typically thought of in terms of a revenue multiple.
Got it. So thinking about those three value drivers you mentioned, how do the more recent IPOs stack up against other public SaaS companies?
So what's been really interesting in looking at the IPOs in the first half of 2018 is that the cohort is not significantly differentiated versus the SaaS index that we track. So growth is faster, but just slightly and not significantly differentiated enough for me to really confidently say these businesses are surging towards market saturation faster than their peers. And then gross margin and Rule of 40 both trail the public index. Now, with all that said, the valuations of the companies in this cohort are significantly differentiated. They're trading higher than the rest of the public SaaS index on a revenue multiple basis. They're at 11 times, while the rest of the public SaaS index was trading just around 7.9 times at the end of June. So this is unexpected, given the performance on the key valuation drivers.
Got it. So I actually want to dive specifically into the product-led growth businesses that have gone public. So all season long, we've been talking about businesses that have these strategies that really put product at the forefront of their acquisition, their conversion, and expansion. And among the subset of SaaS businesses that have went public in the first half of this year, a handful have been product-led. So talk to us about which businesses those are and what kind of performance you're seeing in particular for those companies.
Yeah, so of the first half IPOs, four of the businesses, Dropbox, DocuSign, Smartsheet, and Pluralsight, are all implementing PLG strategies. And so if we want to examine how product-led growth plays out in reality, we can just look at Dropbox and Box, both public companies. Both were founded in the mid-2000s and reached scale quickly, but one has performed the other in the public markets. So Dropbox is clearly winning. They pursued a freemium product-led growth strategy, and it's paying off. So the company generates double Box's revenue, is growing faster, spends a lower share, significantly lower share of their revenue on sales and marketing. Box spent about 54% in 2017, while Dropbox spent just 23%. Dropbox has a higher Rule of 40, and consequently, you know, they trade for a far higher enterprise value to revenue multiple, 9.1 versus 5.2.
Wow. And does this hold across all of these businesses that have been product-led in the first half? So obviously, Dropbox is a clear success story. Is this trend holding?
It is, yeah. So if we look at the valuation drivers for the PLG companies that went public in the first half, they're better than their peers in the cohort that don't leverage PLG strategies, and they're also performing better than the public SaaS set. So the PLG companies in that first half IPO cohort are trading at 13.6 times revenue, which is 4.4 times higher than the non-PLG IPOs and 5.8 times higher than the SaaS index.
All right, so there's no doubt that the PLG companies as of late are outperforming more traditional SaaS businesses. Is this just a recent trend, or has this always been the case, in your opinion?
It's a great question, and it probably doesn't come as a surprise to anybody who's familiar with product-led growth that this trend is consistent for all of the public PLG companies. So we examined the public SaaS universe and found that there are 14 public companies that leverage PLG strategies. So if we look at, as of the end of June of this year, that public PLG set, they're trading at 10 times revenue, while the SaaS index is trading at 7.7 times revenue. So these PLG companies are also differentiated versus the public SaaS index on all key valuation drivers, which supports these premium valuations. So what we're seeing is that not all SaaS revenue is created equal. Businesses with these PLG strategies are able to command top quartile valuations as a result of their go-to-market strategy and the resulting performance across key valuation drivers.
So I certainly agree, and I think that explains why we see many earlier stage startups trying to adopt product-led growth strategies from the get-go in their company's life cycle as they think about long-term what their valuation will be. So it'll be interesting to see where the rest of 2018 takes us. Any predictions for the public markets?
Definitely. I'll ground us in an example as well. So let's take Atlassian, which I'm sure a lot of the listeners are familiar with. Either they use their products or competing products. Atlassian is a great example of a product-led growth company. So what we know about PLG companies is that the virality of user adoption and significant goodwill that they build up with users allows them to more successfully and efficiently accelerate growth via cross-sell and upsell over time, and really strong net retention dictates they're going to have great same-store sales. So if we look at Atlassian, they were able to show in their S1 that $1 of spend in year one would become $7 of spend by the same customer in year five. So as we look at the PLG index, I'd predict that a lot of these companies are going to continue to grow very efficiently as sales and marketing and R&D comes down as a percent of revenue and EBITDA margin expands while maintaining strong growth rates.
Certainly. So you've talked a lot about metrics and forecasts and insights you're seeing into the market. For those listening in who want to learn more, where can they go for additional resources?
OpenView's Product-Led Growth Index. So if you're a subscriber of OpenView Labs, you might have seen a post recently called Product-Led Growth, the Key to Becoming a Top Quartile Public SaaS Company. And within this post, we unveiled our index of 14 public PLG businesses. So we talked about a lack of data earlier, and we're really excited to share all of the key valuation drivers for the public PLG companies within this index to give operators a better sense for benchmarks around how these companies are performing.
Well, thank you, Sean, for putting together the index and also for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks again for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And give us a 5-star rating while you're at it. Outside of podcasts, we produce content daily on OpenView Labs. You can subscribe to our newsletter that is sent out to over 100,000 SaaS operators and founders every Saturday morning by going to openviewpartners.com/newsletter. Or you can follow us on Twitter at OpenView Venture. Until next time.